listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
When I was young, people were afflicted with polio. It was devastating, and the medicine of the day didn't know how to prevent or cure it. I was told that in the decades before that, people had died of the flu, which the medicine of that day did not know how to cure. It became clear to me that at any given time in history, we experience medical conditions and diseases we don't know how to cure. What about today? We're not doing too well with obesity, fibromyalgia, diabetes, autism, bipolar disorder, or even PTSD. Why not? Doctors keep giving medications they say will help, but is modern medicine getting to the root cause of our illnesses and disorders? Is it possible to get to the root cause and actually heal these maladies? This is the subject of today's show as we discuss adrenaline dominance with Dr. Michael Platt. Welcome to Full Power Living, which is the only show on international media that's dedicated to awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. We've got chats for you on both our broadcast locations, which is emotionalpro.com and blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. And please also call us toll-free, 888-498-0570. That's 888-498-0570. You may find yourself wanting to ask a question or make a comment about what Dr. Platt has to say. Michael Platt, MD, has been board certified in internal medicine. He maintains a practice in Palm Desert, California, which is devoted to wellness and a preventive approach to illness. He's known nationally and internationally for his innovative approach to natural hormone replacement, and he's the author of The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones and now Adrenaline Dominance, which is what we're discussing today. So, Dr. Michael Platt, welcome.
Good morning.
So, your interest is in helping people to cure their illness rather than merely treat the symptoms, and so you've been working to address the root cause of many so-called incurable illnesses and disorders that we do have today, like I listed earlier, diabetes, fibromyalgia, and various other things such as PTSD or working with ADHD also. We don't have definitive cures for those. And so will you start us off by talking about your focus on finding something that works to get to the root cause of these illnesses?
Well, it doesn't make sense to just give out Band-Aids because if you think about it, you know, we have a medical system, as you know, that's controlled by drug companies. And when somebody looks at the PDR, the physician desk reference, which is a compendium of all the medications, the only drug in that book that cure are antibiotics, and every other medication is just for maintenance. So medicine is a passion for me, and getting people well, it's very rewarding, and unfortunately, doctors very rarely see it. They only have a few minutes to spend with a patient, so they only have, and statistically, a doctor has, within 18 seconds of walking into the treatment room to see the patient, he knows what drug he's going to give that patient. So what I would want to do, which is not easy, is to change healthcare in this country. But it's not going to happen until people get angry and demand something different. So it just makes more sense to treat the underlying cause of an illness than it is to just give out a Band-Aid for it.
Well, let me just follow up on something you said there, that medicine is controlled by drug companies. What I have learned, we had Dr. Peter Breggin, who's a psychiatrist, on this show a couple of times, and basically a drug company finds or creates something that they think can make them money because it's worthless otherwise because it takes a lot of money to get it cleared by the FDA. And then they support research that's usually done by doctors or in universities, and then they present that information to the FDA, and the FDA then certifies it, and it's set up in such a way that it has a patent, and you can't go outside of the patent until the patent ends for many years later. research. And those drug companies then that make those drugs go around to doctors and teach them how to use those medications. And now we know also that those drug companies push those medications through ads on the TV.
Correct.
Is that what you're talking about, that whole system?
Well, it's a big part of the system. I mean, it's actually worse. It's even worse than what you think it is. But
mm-hmm.
that's a good part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically everything or most everything that doctors learn in medical school is based on research done by drug companies. So when doctors leave medical school and they start doing their internship or residencies, their feeling is that if a person has a problem, they should take a drug for it. The idea of treating the underlying cause of an illness is never taught to doctors. But now they have something called functional medicine, which perhaps a lot of your listeners have heard of. And theoretically, functional medicine is supposed to be the treatment of the causation of illness. I like the idea. I think they still have a long way to go because it's not easy looking for the cause of illness, but at least they're trying.
About 17 years ago, I married a doctor. He's now a retired neurosurgeon, and I've been an alternative medicine person all my life. In fact, when I met him, I told him I spent most of my adult life trying to stay away from people like you. And when I would have an illness, I would take herbs that have worked for me over the years. I haven't had an antibiotic in 35 years. And he would immediately offer me a prescription for something, which I declined. And what I saw is that it felt to him like he was giving something to me that could make me feel better, and that's what was important.
Right. No, I understand that. You're correct.
Yeah. But I still didn't want it because, like you, I'm interested in getting to the cause. I don't want to just make myself feel better. In your quest, you've identified excess adrenaline, hyperadrenalism, and what you call adrenaline dominance as a root cause of a lot of the so-called incurable illnesses that we have today. Talk to me about adrenaline dominant surfeit of adrenaline and what happens when we have it.
Well, most everybody has heard of adrenaline, and adrenaline is a hormone, and it's actually a very powerful hormone. And in the old days, it was a lot simpler. The only time the body ever put out adrenaline was in times of danger. But the danger usually only lasted a few minutes, like a wild animal was approaching or something or whatever. And so the adrenaline gave the person the ability to either fight the danger or run away from it, fight or flight. But nowadays, there are people that are putting out adrenaline all day and all night, and they're not in danger. And so you have to look for another reason why the body's putting out adrenaline. And being exposed to this kind of a powerful hormone, you have to understand that there's going to be consequences to the body. When I use the term adrenaline dominance, I'm talking about the fact where you have this particular hormone basically dominating a person's quality of life, if you will. And so when people complain about having trouble staying asleep at night or tossing and turning or grinding their teeth at night or getting up at night to urinate or women that get hot flashes, restless leg syndrome, all these things are caused by adrenaline. And during the day, people that experience anxiety, adrenaline is the only thing that creates anxiety. And adrenaline is an anger hormone. And when you hear about people that get road rage, that's adrenaline. And when people have a lot of adrenaline, they very often get into drugs and alcohol just to relax. And I would say that 100% of people in AA have too much adrenaline. And you mentioned ADHD is all about adrenaline. And in my book, Adrenaline Dominance, I talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we'll talk about ADHD, but I put ADHD into the good category of having too much adrenaline, which would be surprising to a lot of people. But ADHD is not a bad thing, and we'll talk about that. But when it comes to something like PTSD, is all about adrenaline, but you're dealing with people very often in the military, and the only people that go into the military are people that have a lot of adrenaline because they want to fight. So they're predisposed to developing PTSD because they already have a lot of adrenaline to begin with. So we'll talk about more of the things associated with adrenaline, but I was just trying to give people an idea that this is not an easy hormone. And when people have a lot of adrenaline, which creates stress, the body's going to respond to that stress by putting out another hormone called cortisol, and which is also not a happy hormone. And we'll talk about that also. And then when both adrenaline and cortisol raise sugar levels, which cause the body to put out another hormone called insulin, which is also not a happy hormone. And it just sets up a whole cycle, and you can see where a lot of illnesses could arise just from this little simple little combination of hormones.
So what our body is attempting to do is to feed our brain, right?
Yes. People often don't understand that the brain uses more sugar than any other part of the body, and the brain cannot function without sugar. When people get sleepy between 3 and 4 in the afternoon, that's when insulin peaks. So whenever insulin is high, blood sugar is low, and people get sleepy between 3 and 4. And a lot of people get sleepy after eating because as soon as they put food in their mouth, the body's putting out insulin. And a lot of people get sleepy when they're driving. That some people fall asleep when they're driving, go off the road and kill themselves. And these are all examples of what happens when you take fuel away from the brain. So from a survival standpoint, and adrenaline is a survival hormone, from a survival standpoint, the body always wants to make sure the brain can function. And even when a person is sleeping, the brain is working. So even during the night, the body wants to make sure that the brain has enough fuel. And this is all related to survival.
And so one of the things you're putting out is that we don't need the amounts of adrenaline that we have providing the sugar to our brain. We can provide it with less and with other things and have it function well. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's good. I mean, logically, it would make more sense for people to provide fuel to the brain themselves rather than to have to rely on hormones to provide fuel to the brain.
And so that's part of what you're doing by asking people in your protocol to change the way they eat.
Exactly. And this is not a new idea. I mean, Hippocrates, thousands of years ago, was pushing this because he wound up in prison for 20, 30 years trying to get people to be healthy. But and things have not changed.
Yes, I was going to
things
say.
Things have not changed. Yeah.
Well, now, a few minutes ago, you mentioned insulin and cortisol and adrenaline. Insulin and adrenaline in particular can form this circular thing that keeps these hormones in high production in our body. And often what is offered to somebody, say, who has diabetes, more insulin, and that's not always appropriate. Can you explain how that works?
Well, again, you know, as most people know, there are basically two different types of diabetes. There's type 1 and type 2. And type 1, which is less common, this is where the pancreas just doesn't make insulin. So these people require insulin. But most people have what's called type 2 diabetes. And more often than not, type 2 diabetes is actually caused by too much insulin. And basically what happens is the insulin keeps on putting sugar into fat cells, and unless people burn up the sugar, but most people don't. So, and eventually what will happen is that the fat cells get so filled up with fat that the insulin can't get the sugar into the cells anymore because there's no more room at the end. So then the sugar starts going up in the bloodstream, and doctors will do a blood test and say, you have diabetes because your sugar is high. So then they start putting them on medications, and most of the medications for diabetes are drugs that stimulate the release of more insulin. So they're actually starting to treat diabetes with the same hormone that caused diabetes in the first place. And eventually they can get to the point where these fat cells are so filled up with fat that the body, even with drugs that stimulate insulin, can't produce enough insulin. So then the doctors start adding insulin. So again, they very often are treating the same person with the same hormone that caused diabetes in the first place. And what makes it more tragic is that insulin is probably the number one cause of all the complications of diabetes. They've done a number of studies with regard to diabetes, and every study that they've performed where they try to get people's blood sugar down as low as possible, they've never really been able to complete a study because these people don't live through the study or they have severe complications because by giving them more drugs, which means more insulin, it just provides a lot of complications. So wouldn't it make more sense to treat diabetics from the standpoint that that they're overproducing insulin? And instead of giving them drugs, just try to get the fat out of the fat cells so there'll be room for the sugar to go in there. But again, we're going to circle back to adrenaline because the reason why the body most often puts out excess adrenaline is to raise sugar levels. So you have to understand right away there's a big relationship here between adrenaline and diabetes. It's probably the number one reason that there's a blood test called the hemoglobin A1C, which is probably the standard, the gold standard for doctors to see whether or not somebody is predisposed to diabetes. And it's a reflection of sugar in red blood cells over a three-month period. But if people are putting out adrenaline all day and all night to raise sugar levels, you know that the hemoglobin A1C is going to be elevated. And these are the patients who they say are pre-diabetic because their hemoglobin A1C is high. But in essence, it's just because they're putting out a lot of adrenaline.
I don't have any of those illnesses, but as I was reading your book, I became super aware of how in my 20s I discovered that I had been running on adrenaline my whole life because of stress. I lost my birth mother before I was 3. I was neglected, went to boarding schools when I was 3 and 4. My father was a military man and lived in 14 different places and went to 17 schools in 15 years, etc.
Wow, yes.
So that was a lot of stress, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And so I was a skinny little kid, and I ran everywhere I went, and I made a lot of noise. And when I look back, I thought, gosh almighty, I just lived on adrenaline. I had one long cold for my whole childhood, I think. And nobody picked up on that. Is it possible when you have that kind of stress as a child that you just keep producing high levels of adrenaline into your adulthood because you don't know any different? You don't know that you need to do something different?
To answer your question, I would say yes, it's very possible. You do realize that you just described yourself as having ADHD as a child.
No, I don't.
Well, remember, your father was in the military. Remember I said that all military people have a lot of adrenaline? And,
yes.
But remember, I also said that ADHD is the good part of having too much adrenaline. The most intelligent, successful, creative people in the world have ADHD. And I would venture to say that all doctors have ADHD. I know I had it. I used to get up and walk out of class. I couldn't focus at all in school. Never open a book to study until I got into medical school. But the whole thing about ADHD is not a learning disorder, which is what they keep on saying in schools and what doctors say. It's not a learning disorder. It's an interest disorder. In other words, people with ADHD will focus on things they're interested in, but if they're not interested, they will not focus. They get distracted too easily because the adrenaline in the brain makes the mind go very quickly. It gives people intelligence, the adrenaline, but it also makes the mind go very quickly. So if they're not interested, they will not focus.
That explains a lot of the children's behavior. I remember my son, with his teachers when he was in 7th grade, told me that he was not present in class. His attention was off somewhere else. But in the meantime, he was carrying around tomes of books on crystals and scientific topics, whatever interested him, he could pay attention to. But schoolwork, he didn't. Same thing.
And it's a shame that schools don't realize this because a lot of kids have trouble with algebra in high school, and this is usually a subject that once you leave high school, you'll never use again. And so if they could recognize the fact that a lot of kids can't focus on this, why give it to them? Because it's only going to, provide bad grades to them, which can affect later on when they're trying to get into college. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's just a lot of things going on in this world.
We're batting 1,000 for me. My father was very good at math. He was an electrical engineer, and I was terrible at algebra. So,
well,
you're batting 1,000 with me. We're up to our first break, Dr. Platt.
Okay.
Dr. Michael Platt, who is author of Adrenaline Dominance, is my guest today, and we're going to be going into more of the details about disorders associated with excessive adrenaline, such as the ADHD we've been talking about already, and weight problems and insomnia and so forth, when we return from our break right here at Full Power Living. Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com. My guest today is board-certified internal medicine doctor Michael Platt, and we're talking about adrenaline dominance. Before we get back to our conversation, I have a few announcements. I would like you to please to go to emotionalpro.com and sign up to be on our mailing list. I'd love to send you advance notification of upcoming programs. One of the great things that I like about Full Power Living is that we focus on emotions, and emotions are part of everything. So we're able to draw on a wide range of ideas and guests, and you will want to keep up with what we're doing. Next week, for example, I'm talking with Carolyn Hobbs about 10 life-changing powers of your own heart that you can use to overcome obstacles and find unlimited joy in your life. That's Thursday, May 14th at 9 a.m. Pacific, just noon Eastern. And while you're on the landing page of emotionalpro.com, click on the logo for the CCFL Global Academy to find out about all that's available to help you and your family prepare for and move into the transformed future toward which we're all heading. There are 31 experts in a wide variety of issues that affect parents, children, and families, and we've come together to provide you with a fantastic resource, a membership site costing less than $1 a day, where you can get information, help, and support for the very things that we wrestle with as parents and as families. And I'm one of the 31 experts. My specialty is mastering emotions and ending codependence. So every month, 31 new one-hour programs are available to our members. My own recent programs were on fear and on ending codependence. So check it out, the CCFL Global Academy. Today, I'm talking with Dr. Michael Platt, who's author of The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones and Adrenaline Dominance. So, Dr. Platt, while it's fresh, we just had the ad that I made about working with anger. And so much of what you talked about has to do with anger underlying what's going on. So talk to me about what you have seen about the relationship of anger and adrenaline dominance.
When people have a lot of adrenaline, they'll find that they're very quick to anger. They have a very short fuse. And I don't have to tell you that anger is a very powerful emotion. And one of the problems with anger is that a lot of people can internalize anger. And when people internalize anger, that's one of the things that many people deal with. It is something called depression. And again, when it comes to depression, there's basically, you know, two different types. There's a reactive depression where, you know, somebody dies in the family or a pet dies or you lose a job. And that's a reactive depression. But the clinical depressions, the ones that come from within, these are what are called the endogenous depression. And the most common cause, I feel, of an endogenous depression is internalization of anger. So, again, adrenaline can be considered one of the causes for people to be depressed. This is very apparent in a condition called the bipolar disorder. And, you know, this is where people go from highs to severe lows. But bipolar disorders is all about adrenaline, and very commonly preceded by ADHD. And ADHD goes right into a bipolar disorder. And ADHD is all about adrenaline. And the thing about anger, you know, I mentioned earlier something called road rage. And again, the only thing that causes road rage is adrenaline. But it's a very easy thing to fix just by lowering adrenaline. And it doesn't take long to lower adrenaline. So this way people don't have to wind up in anger management class, which is really a joke, because anger management classes, you know, when people get stopped by police, they don't do anything about reducing adrenaline. So, you know, I'm not sure what they're trying to accomplish.
I see myself as a recovered angry person, which is what got me interested in emotions in the first place. You know, what strikes me is the protocol you outline in your book takes so much less effort, so much less time to reduce that anger because you're reducing the adrenaline. So maybe that's a good place for us to step into what it is that you have been offering people the last 40 years of your practice that helps reduce adrenaline. And as you do that, talk about the bioidentical hormones as well, if you will.
Yeah. So again, when you look at the causation of a problem, if the cause of the problem is adrenaline, then you have to address the reason why the body is putting out adrenaline. And as I alluded to earlier, that the simple explanation is that the body is putting out adrenaline not because the person is in danger, but because the body uses adrenaline to raise sugar levels for the brain. And again, let me repeat, the brain cannot function without sugar. And so it's a priority and a survival concern for the body to make sure the brain has enough fuel. So anytime the body detects that the brain is running out of fuel, it just simply puts out adrenaline to raise sugar levels through a process called gluconeogenesis, where the body makes sugar from protein. Now, the problem is that if you're going to be using a hormone to raise sugar levels, you have no control over how much sugar the body is going to be producing. And very often when people are putting out adrenaline at night, grinding their teeth or tossing and turning or restless leg syndrome, whatever, and they're putting out all this adrenaline to raise sugar levels, well, they're not burning up all this sugar. So all that extra sugar that is not being burnt up is now going to be going into their fat cells for storage. And then, again, as soon as the body releases adrenaline, which creates stress, and the body puts out cortisol, and the first thing cortisol does is raise your sugar levels to deal with the stress. And again, so now you have two hormones making sugar. And again, if you're not burning them up, all that extra sugar is going to the fat cells. So my feeling is that perhaps very close to being the number one or maybe the number one reason why people fight weight all the time is because they're gaining weight while they're sleeping by putting out these hormones. So again, if people understand that their body is putting out all this adrenaline to raise sugar levels, then right away you can see, well, geez, if they're providing fuel to their brain by how they're eating, then the body won't have to put out adrenaline, and that's absolutely true. So, you know, it used to be thought that sugar was the only fuel that the brain utilized. And relatively recently, they found out that there's actually even a better fuel for the brain, which are ketone bodies. And perhaps the best source of ketone bodies is coconut oil. So again, if people are eating the right types of sugar, then the body won't have to produce it. And perhaps the best type of sugar for the brain are green vegetables. So if people just incorporate green vegetables and something like coconut oil into their meal plan, then they can drastically reduce adrenaline. Now, you mentioned bioidentical hormones. Well, my favorite bioidentical hormone for both men, women, and children is a hormone called progesterone. And one of the really unfortunate things about our medical system is that doctors receive little or no training in hormones. And I hate to tell you this, but gynecologists probably have the least knowledge of hormones, for the most part, of all doctors. And they're the ones that deal with women. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but...
Well, as a woman, I say I certainly would want my gynecologist to know something about hormones because I didn't have it, but I know a lot of women who have huge difficulties with PMS or menopause.
But if women go to gynecologists, then with either menopause problems or problems with PMS or cramps, whatever, they're going to wind up on estrogen. And if they're young, they wind up on birth control pills. And when women take birth control pills, they stop ovulating. And the only time their body ever produces progesterone is when they ovulate. So they go from a low level of progesterone to none. You know, that low level of progesterone is why they had the cramps and PMS in the first place, but now they have none. So now they start developing polycystic ovaries and fibroids and endometriosis and have trouble getting pregnant and eventually wind up with breast cancer and stuff like this. And so So I'm just saying, women get abused by our medical system.
But, well, what exactly is a bioidentical hormone?
A bioidentical hormone is a hormone that is actually identical from a molecular standpoint to the hormones that your own body produces. And usually one of the best sources for what are called bioidentical hormones are what are called compounding pharmacies. And, you know, it used to be that all pharmacies were compounding pharmacies.
Yeah, they mix it up themselves, yeah.
But when it comes to bioidentical hormones, my favorite bioidentical hormone is progesterone, which is a hormone that really isn't as well known as it should be, even though a lot of people have heard of it. But believe it or not, even a lot of doctors consider progesterone as a woman's hormone. They fail to recognize the fact that men and women have the identical hormones. So the thing about progesterone is that where this comes in with regard to adrenaline is in several different ways. First of all, progesterone is a hormone that can actually control insulin. For example, if you have somebody that gets sleepy between 3 and 4 in the afternoon, or sleepy after eating, or sleepy when they're driving or in a car, that's because they're hypoglycemic. And when people are using progesterone, they do not get hypoglycemic because it helps to control or block insulin. And the problem is that anytime somebody gets hypoglycemic, they're going to be putting out adrenaline to raise their sugar levels again. So one way of controlling adrenaline is to prevent people from getting hypoglycemic. The other thing is that progesterone actually has a direct effect on adrenaline. For example, if somebody is feeling apprehensive, nervous, anxious, whatever, and they put some progesterone on, within just a few minutes, they feel nice and relaxed. They can start focusing better because the brain works better. So progesterone has both a direct and indirect effect on adrenaline.
Just to clarify, in your book you state that what you want to do is get some progesterone cream, preferably from a compounding pharmacy, though there are over-the-counter, and rub it on areas of your body that where the skin is thinner a few minutes before you eat. Am I remembering that accurately?
That's correct. But the reason why I recommend using it about 1 to 3 minutes before eating, because progesterone only lasts for about 6 minutes in the bloodstream, and the reason why it's such a short period of time is that it readily attaches to a lot of receptor sites. And once it's attached to a receptor site, it can't control insulin. So you want it in the bloodstream at the time that you first start eating, because as soon as you put food in your mouth, the body will be putting out insulin. And yes, you're right. You can get actually progesterone in a over-the-counter in health food stores. But the problem is that in order to control adrenaline, people need to have a 5% strength. 5% means that it's 50 milligrams per pump. And because of this, if you don't mind my saying so, I had some progesterone cream specially made up in a 5% strength that people can get from my office. But the strength, generally speaking, in health food stores is 2%, even though I am making 5% cream available to certain health food stores. So that's where the bioidentical hormones come in terms of helping to control adrenaline. So if people are eating correctly, using the cream, within 24 hours, the adrenaline goes down. So we're not talking about a long-term treatment program.
Yes, and I want to point out, some of them are really, really poignant, that your book, Adrenaline Dominance, has just lots and lots of letters that you've included from people who have different issues brought out by excessive adrenaline in their system, and they write about what happened once you saw them and treated them in the way that you just described.
Uh-huh.
So we've looked a little bit at ADHD, women's issues. What about, you were talking about gaining weight in your sleep, but a lot of people also have insomnia issues. How does adrenaline fit in there, excessive adrenaline?
Okay, classically, adrenaline is released by the adrenal glands around 2:30 in the morning. And that's when a lot of people will wake up, and adrenaline gives people an urge to urinate. During the day, when people have urgency, in other words, when they have to go, they have to go, that's adrenaline. And when you hear about bedwetting in children, that's also adrenaline, always. And you only see that, by the way, in creative-type children, and we'll talk about creative people in a little bit. So when the body is releasing adrenaline, it's going to give people that urge to urinate. So again, people will wake up around 2:30, they'll have that urge to urinate, and then they'll have trouble falling back to sleep. So probably the number one reason why people have trouble sleeping is adrenaline.
Wow.
Either falling asleep or staying asleep.
Mm-hmm. So talk about creative people. You said we're going to talk about creative people. Let's do it now.
When it comes to ADHD, I usually separate it into two different types of ADHD. The first type is what people think of when they hear about kids that are hyperactive, you know, whatever. And again, that's adrenaline that gives them all this hyperactivity. But there's another type of ADHD that is commonly called ADD, attention deficit disorder. And these are kids that have trouble focusing in school, but they're not hyperactive. However, they're hyperactive in their brain. And these type of kids, because they keep on putting out adrenaline all the time, which keeps on raising sugar levels, always have a weight problem because they're not burning up the sugar like their compatriots with the typical type ADHD, because they're always thin because they burn up their sugar because they're always very active physically. But the reason why it's important to separate the two is that the creative type ADHDs are the ones that have the most adrenaline. And somebody's going to say, well, how do you know if somebody is a creative type person? Well, you know, certainly all musicians and artists are creative, but people that are creative, these people are very intuitive about other people. In other words, they can pick up good energy and bad energy. It's not unusual for them to have premonitions and deja vu type feelings. These are people that will know who's on the phone before they answer it, or they'll answer and say, I was just thinking about you. Creative type people are the ones that if they go too long without eating will start getting shaky or irritable. And again, that's adrenaline coming out if they go too long without eating. And creative people will find that animals and small children are very attracted to them. And the reason for that is that animals and small children who are creative themselves can pick up on their energy. Because the adrenaline in a right brain, which means a creative brain, can allows people to tap into the energy that goes through the air from cell phones and Wi-Fi, and that's how they're able to be intuitive and have premonitions and deja vu type feelings. It's the same thing that animal whisperers, like dog whisperers and horse whisperers, they have a lot of that energy, and clairvoyants and psychics. So these are all creative type people.
I'm learning a lot about myself here. Right?
Well, you, and when people, you remember, you were sort of hyperactive as a child,
yes.
Or pretty active, we'll say, but you're probably also a creative type person. So you would be somebody I would say has a mixed type. In other words, that you have both types of ADHD, which is good. The most intelligent, successful, creative people in the world have ADHD. But the reason for differentiating between the two is that the approach to the creative type people, because they have the most adrenaline, is a little bit different than people who are just typical type ADHDs. These are the people that need to eat something before they go to sleep. In other words, they have to provide the right type of fuel to the brain and use some progesterone also before they go to sleep.
I'm watching time march by, and there are a few things I really want to get to. You know, when I read people's books preparing for my show, sometimes I'm talking to the people around me about what I'm discovering. And as I talked about your book with a person this week, they said, I'm always cautious about something that, some cure that touches on so many different illnesses or problems.
Right,
do you run into that question?
Well, not really, but I can understand why somebody would be concerned, because it sounds like snake oil. But again, adrenaline is pervasive, and because it's such a powerful hormone, it can have a lot of different effects. You know, we didn't mention fibromyalgia, and I just want people to, you know, I tell patients that have fibromyalgia that if they're going to have pain, fibromyalgia is actually the best thing they can have, because it's the easiest thing to cure. Even though doctors say there's no cure for fibromyalgia, it's actually very easy to get rid of. The pain of fibromyalgia is just a buildup of lactic acid in the muscle tissue, and that's being caused by keeping muscle tense all the time. And when you keep muscle tense, not only do you build up a lot of lactic acid, but you also use up a tremendous amount of energy, so they feel tired all the time. But the muscle tension is cutting off the circulation through the muscles. You know, they're compressing the blood vessels and the lymphatic circulation, so they have no way of getting rid of that lactic acid. But just by lowering adrenaline is the way to eliminate fibromyalgia. But There are so many other conditions related to adrenaline. Something called PMDD, which a lot of people have never heard of. It's premenstrual disorder. These are the women. It's found in 5% of women that menstruate. And these are the women that for like 10 days out of the month, you can't live with them. They have severe mood swings and severe anger issues. And again, it's all related to adrenaline. And something like chronic interstitial cystitis, which is a devastating condition, which is also caused by too much adrenaline and very easy to fix. Everything.
And irritable bowel syndrome.
Irritable bowel syndrome. A lot of people will find that they have cold hands and cold feet. And they always blame it on thyroid, but it's not. Adrenaline is what causes cold hands and cold feet because it constricts blood vessels. But it constricts blood vessels going to areas of the body not needed for survival, like the intestines. And that's where irritable bowel syndrome comes from. They're cutting off the blood supply, and that's why they get constipation. And also, they're cutting off the circulation to the areas of the intestine that provide enzymes, digestive enzymes, so then they can get diarrhea, bloating, distension. So, again, another condition easily remedied by lowering adrenaline.
Okay, you keep saying easily remedied, cure, easy to fix fibromyalgia. I know so many fibromyalgia people who would have a hard time believing that. So now I'm going to step into the big heavy-duty question, which is, if it's so easy, why aren't doctors everywhere doing it?
You know, that is what I call a rabbinical question, which is a question they ask rabbis because they know the answer to everything. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know why people have not made this observation about adrenaline. I'll be honest with you. Because to me it seems logical and apparent. You know, the problem is that we have a medical generation that only believes in what they call evidence-based medicine. And I'm a great believer in observational-based medicine. You know, you observe, you look, you talk to patients, and you learn from that. But doctors have been trained to ignore this and only listen to testing usually done by drug companies. And I think that this has set back progress in medicine 50 years because doctors have learned to relegate observational-based medicine to anecdotal-type medicine, which they don't believe in. So if they don't hear it from a drug company, they don't believe it. It doesn't exist.
That's really interesting. My husband has prostate cancer right now, and I've been very interested that in all the months that he's been seen by doctors and treated, I haven't seen one of them examine him, do anything more than take his blood pressure and heart rate. They're relying on tests. And my husband, who's 77 now and was trained many years ago, he and I have talked a lot about the fact that doctors used to be trained to observe their patients and notice what was going on with them. And now they are relying on tests.
Yeah, 90% of a diagnosis is sitting down talking to a patient, and doctors don't do that anymore. They treat lab tests. And you can never go wrong treating a patient, but you can certainly go wrong treating a lab test. And doctors don't realize that. But the thing about prostate cancer, not a bad cancer to get. But most men, almost 100% of men, will have it by the time at a certain age, as long as he avoids having biopsies. You know, that's the one thing I would recommend. Never have a biopsy.
He did.
I know. I feel that that's how the prostate cancer spreads, is by having biopsies.
I've heard that theory. The medical establishment doesn't particularly, or the pharmaceutical establishment, whichever, doesn't particularly like people to find cures. If I understand some of the things you say in adrenaline dominance, they're not really liking you to find cures because then the money that they've invested in the medication that addresses the symptoms, they can't make. So somebody like you ends up targeted at times. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. The medical board in California has gone after me more aggressively than any other doctor ever in California. Their experts felt the ideas of my first book, The Miracle of Bioidentical Hormones, were so dangerous I shouldn't be practicing medicine. And all the book talks about is treating the underlying cause of illness and getting people off drugs. But at the time that I wrote it, I did not realize that the medical board was bought and paid for by drug companies. I mean, what better way of regulating the medical system than regulating the medical boards? And they regulate and they control the FDA. I mean, drug companies are pervasive throughout medicine. And anyway, I'm just saying that's the way it is. You can't fight it.
At this time, are you able to practice medicine then?
Oh, I have never changed the way I approach people. I sit down and talk to them. I can't write out a prescription, but I never wrote prescriptions anyway. But, you know, I still have my MD, but I surrendered my license because I refused not to take people off drugs, and they would not allow me to practice medicine if I was taking people off drugs. So I just gave up my license rather than, otherwise they would have revoked it.
I want to appreciate you for keeping on going. I think in an email I mentioned to you that I read a book in 1987 about a Dr. Royal Rife, who the book was entitled The Cancer Cure That Worked, and
right.
It was about his life in the 30s when he had a cancer cure that if I had interviewed him, he could have talked to me in a similar way to what you have been today. And he was drummed out also because medicine didn't believe that this could be cured, and it was actually what they say in the book anyway is the American Cancer Society had invested lots of money in getting funded and having research and so forth, and if he could walk in and cure it, that would mess up their whole deal.
You're right. American Cancer Society has no interest in curing cancer. They'd be out of business.
Right. I'm in your camp, I have to say, because of my own interest in preventive medicine and taking responsibility for my own health, and I'm glad to say that at age 72, I'm in really good health. But people who are relying on the medical system, they need people like you who can actually make them feel good. And I want to make note, you mentioned the terrible syndrome that I can't remember the name of, the gynecological syndrome. And you have in the book a letter from a woman who had it, who had suffered like 15 years going from one doctor to the next and having operations and being put on this and that and the other, and she came to you and it got straightened out. So your practice now is in Palm Desert, correct? So if people wanted to find you, how do people find you?
The telephone number is 760-836-3232, and my website is plattwellness.com. Or drplatt.com.
Say that again.
www.plattwellness.com. Or they could do www.drplatt.com. So.
All right, that's Platt. Platt, Platt, wellness.com, or drplatt.com. Okay, so that's really important for people to know. It's so interesting. I'm sorry that you have run into this prejudice. It's not the first time. Again, I mentioned Dr. Peter Bregan, and he found himself on the wrong side of the table from pharmaceutical companies also, and he was supposed to be an expert witness in the government's case against Lilly and the whole issue of Prozac. So perhaps people will begin to get a little angry. I'm feeling angry and also really sad that here people are trying to stay healthy, they're trying to live their lives, they're under stress, we're all under stress at this point in time, which is going to increase the adrenaline, which is going to be making things worse, and here's someone such as yourself who has a plan and a protocol that has worked for a lot of people, and you're being persecuted for it, which is sad. I'm more of the idea of, like, if I believe that it works and I want to do it and I choose to do it over my body, then I should have an opportunity to do that. And that would be taken away from me in large measure.
You know, eventually, maybe not in my lifetime, but I think things will change. But the things to change, people have to start getting angry. They have to start demanding a better medical system.
So I have a thought when you say that, Dr. Platt.
Uh-huh.
Since nobody's reducing the adrenaline, it's more likely that people will get angry.
I guess so.
That's
a good thing. Okay.
So we have to get angry, and we have to, I mean, just as people. Before we stop, you mentioned in your book, too, that adrenaline is a big issue with police brutality that we've been working with here recently.
People that go into law enforcement have a lot of adrenaline, and so this is why if a cop tells you to do something, do it. You could see that in the Rodney King beating when they were chasing him. You know, they chased him for like an hour or so. But so when they finally pulled him over, their adrenaline was pumping, and so they kept on telling him to lie down. He kept on trying to get up, and that's why they were hitting him. If he had just laid down, they would not have touched him. So your listeners should learn that if a cop tells them to lie down, they should lie down.
Okay. And it's largely to do with adrenaline, which, of course, after you've been chased for an hour, your own adrenaline may be up also. So.
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank you for your tireless efforts over the years to help people understand how their bodies work related to adrenaline and to heal the maladies that come up. And I hope for those of you who are listening that if you've been afflicted with some of the issues we've discussed today and you're not satisfied with the answers you've been given, that you'll investigate and work to reduce the amount of adrenaline in your own system. And again, I'll mention Dr. Platt's book is Adrenaline Dominance, so read that. And also, his office number is 760-836-3232. And you can reach him at plattwellness.com, P-L-A-T-T, wellness.com. So, Dr. Platt, thank you for your courage in standing behind what you know and believe about healing people. And I want to thank you for writing Adrenaline Dominance and for being my guest here on Full Power Living today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. So remember to join me next Thursday, May 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific time when my guest is Carolyn Hobbs. We'll be discussing 10 life-changing powers of your wise heart that allow you to free yourself. I look forward to spending time with you again next week.
Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. Thank you, Paul. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.